Y'all can do better. Good morning.
Thank you.
Our song today comes from Psalms 122, verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord.
Y'all need to stand up. This is a worship song. So come on, get up with us. Come on, it's 11 o'clock. No sleepy time. We're going to worship our Lord this morning.
We worship the God who was, we worship the God who is, we worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison door, he parted the raging sea. My God, he holds the victory. There's joy in the house of the Lord, there's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. My God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise. We sing to the God who heals. We sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always makes a way. He hung up on that cross, and he rose up from that grave. My God, still rolling stones away. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet. Shout out your praise, there's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise.
We are the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise.
We were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house. There's joy. My God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet.
morning again. I hope y'all are doing fantastic on this fantastic, nice, warm, no, it's not warm, it's cold, bright, sunny day, and I hope you guys have come to worship the Lord in this house with us today. So, if you'll please stand once again for our congregational song number 407, Because He Lives.
Children's Church. It begins today, and we're so thankful Seems like it's been years and years since we've got to assemble the children together. And we're thankful for the volunteers that have come on board to help serve. And we have enough now that we can only have to teach, or we only get to teach once every 6 weeks. So that's a blessing. That's the most we've ever had. And that, that tells me that you're serious about worshiping. And the children want to worship too. And it is not a playtime when we go back there. We teach the word. We have prayer just like we do in here. It's not a place we go take entertain them for half an hour or an hour. But we're so thankful that we can begin. And if your child is 4 years of age or up to 9 years of age, they're eligible to be back there, or your grandchild. So just keep that in mind. If you have grandchildren that aren't in church, bring them to church. If you have children that aren't in church, bring them to church. And they can have church just as well as you have it in here. So we're just thankful for that. And we're thankful again for all the volunteers that have come on board to help us work with the children. Thank you.
Good morning again. Bear with me as I try to read here. I was going to put my notes on my iPad so I could see it where I could read it, but it'd be like one slide with three letters. So if I mispronounce something, forgive me here. I'm going to put an extra pair of readers up here. When you break them once a day, it's a bad thing. Again, I want to welcome everyone to Thomas Village this morning. Again, be in prayer for our pastor and Brother Wayne and Brother John Franklin as they'll be representing us there at the Southern Baptist Conservatives of Virginia meeting. And then also, again, just reminders that we have church council meeting tonight. So if you have any event that needs to be placed on the calendar, please let someone know on the church council so we can get it on the calendar. And then also, again, a deacon's meeting tomorrow night at 6 in the pastor's office. Also, I see here that Awana is listed as red, white, and see, I can't read it.
Red, white, and blue. Yeah, see, honor our veterans.
America, okay. And red, white, and blue. Again, issues with my eyes. So my wife asked me the other day as I was doing my benefits enrollments if I was ever going to take advantage of my vision plan I've been paying for the last 5 years. So the answer is yes. I will start to begin to do that this year. So again, I hope you're here to worship this morning. We want to welcome everyone here in service and those out in the parking lot and also those watching on Facebook. We're so blessed to be in this country and be able to worship freely. And we're blessed that the Lord has put this place here so that we can come to worship Him. So I hope your heart is steadied, your heart is full of love for the Lord. This is the time to give it back to Him because He's blessed us much this week in many ways. And if you'll just take a moment to stop and think, I think you'll find many blessings the Lord's done for you this week. So with that, let's bow our head. We'll go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to bless this service this morning. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, that we can be here this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you give our pastor and the members of the church a safe travel as they went out east into Virginia there in the Norfolk area. And we just ask you to protect them and bring them back safely. We thank you, Lord, again for this nation. And we thank you, Lord, that we can worship here freely. We're so blessed, Lord. And let us not keep that secret to ourselves as we go throughout this coming week, that we tell others, Lord, about the opportunity to come here and to worship you. And we just ask now, Lord, that as Brother Paul comes, that you would just bless him, Lord. We're thankful for him this morning and just ask you to put your protective hand upon him as he brings your word this morning, that we would just listen intently and that we would look for an opportunity, Lord, as you work through Paul, that you would give us direction in our life, that you would bring something to our attention, Lord. And if it's that time that, if you bring it to our attention, Lord, we need to bring it here to the altar, Lord, that today would be that time and that we would just put ourselves in total submission to you, Lord, this morning and throughout this week to come, that you would just guide us, Lord, and direct us. We ask that this evening, Lord, that you be with the Awana program as well, Lord, as they are teaching those students and those young people the word of the Lord, Lord, that you would just bless them in those efforts. And again, we just thank you for your protection that you give us, Lord. And And most of all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came and gave his life upon Calvary, Lord, for all, everyone's sin, Lord. And again, we just pray if there's someone that doesn't know you this morning that's here or watching on Facebook, that if they don't know you, Lord, that this will be the morning they come to that realization and they would just accept you as their Savior. And in Jesus' name and for his sake, we do pray. Amen.
It's me again. Okay. This song, our verse, comes from 1 Peter chapter 1, 3 through 4. Praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that we can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you.
Thank you. Good morning, church. It is good to be in God's house this morning. One announcement before I forget, as Brother Otis said, don't forget there's choir practice now on Wednesday evenings at 6 o'clock. If you want to be a part of the choir, practice every Wednesday. The other thing was I want to thank the church. Yesterday, I've never seen such an outpouring of help as was here for Samaritan's Purse yesterday. I counted at least 29 people. Some said there was over 30. Because, you know, in a Baptist church, if you can get two together, that's enough to take up an offering right there. But we had plenty of help to put together shoeboxes. And truly, if we'd had enough material for 1,000 boxes, I believe it could have been done yesterday. The help was just, you had no idea what an answered prayer you were yesterday. So we go with what we've got. And again, every box is an opportunity to grow the kingdom of God. So everything that came in yesterday will ship out of here. And we'll go to some foreign land. I don't know which one, but it will go. And next week, the last leg of the drive, starting Monday the 15th, will be collection week for everybody else out in the county. Any county that has shoeboxes they want to ship. So if you have somebody that wants to know where you can take your boxes, they can bring them here. We'll be here Monday through Monday, 3 to 5 every day. I don't have a list of volunteers. I'm just putting it out there. If you would like to volunteer, you don't have to do every day. If you want to do a couple days through the week, that would be wonderful. So far, God has always provided. And I've learned that that's the... Because you can sign up and say, I'll be there. Something can happen the night before and you can't. So, if you can, the offer's open. And I'd love to have you come and participate. All we do is take the boxes that the people bring. We box them up, put them in the crates. And then the Monday, I think it's the 22nd... we'll be open like 8 to 10 that morning, and then we'll load everything on the truck and take it to the tractor and trailers that'll be waiting for it at Big Stone. But like I said, there's one more leg of it, and then we'll be done with Samaritan's Purse Operation Christmas Child for this year. The goal this year for the total ministry is 9.4 million boxes is what they're hoping to be able to deliver. So if you brought a box yesterday, you have put together a box yesterday, you're a part of that. All I can do is thank you. In God's time, He will reward you. So I do appreciate your help. Now I'll try to get to what God has given me. Pastor, I communicated with him earlier in the week. I come back and I told him, I said, well, God had given me one more lesson. And I feel if I don't go ahead and volunteer to try and do it, it's going to be disobedience. So here I am. I'm coming to you, as I told Brother Gary, I'm skipping through the Bible this morning, but I want to start in Joshua chapter 4. If you'll turn to there, if we had a title for it, I would call it Milestones. In your life, as you go along, there are certain things that you, markers that you mentally place in your mind that you remember. And in essence, that's sort of like what I'm looking at here. So if we could, let's have just a word of prayer, and then I'll try to read the scriptures. Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time. Now, Father, help me to be the obedient servant, to present your word. Help me to speak clearly. give me straight train of thought. I pray, Father, that you would be glorified through this word. And Father, if there be a soul there that's lost this morning, I pray that they would hear your word. Your Holy Spirit would take that word and convict their hearts with it. Show them they're lost and they need Jesus. That's the main cause for everything, is to spread your gospel. So may your will be done this morning. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. I feel like I heard a guy talking this week. And he made a comment about, he was a preacher. He preached his word, what he says. And the analogy he used is about how I feel this morning. He says, I may be like the cross-eyed discus thrower. I may not get a trophy, but at least you'll keep your eyes open to see before this thing lands. So that's what we're going to do. Let's go to Joshua 4. We start with verses 4 through 8. Then I'll read verse 9, and then verse 16 through 18, and 20 through 24. So Joshua 4 through 8. Says, then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each of you take up a stone on your shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it crossed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so just as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord had spoken to Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them to the place where they lodged and laid them down there. Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan in the place where the feet of the priest who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood. And they are there to this day. Now let's look at verse 15 through 18. Starting with verse 15, it says, then the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, command the priest who bear the Ark of the Testimony to come up from the Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priest, saying, come up from the Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priest who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord had come from the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priest's feet touched the dry land, that the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and overflowed all its banks as before. Now let's look at verse 20 through 24. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their fathers in the time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over, that all the people of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Now, this is our first stop, if you will. These verses consist of God's instructions to Joshua. And Joshua gives the instructions to the people. He does just like Moses. Joshua has inherited the leadership of Israel at this point in time. It's his job to lead this new generation, if you will, into the promised land. And that's why crossing the Jordan is so vital. This is considered like your boundary. When they cross the Jordan, then they're starting to possess the promised land. And that's why they're there. What we find here, if you look in chapter 3 and verse 15 of Joshua, you learn that the Jordan River was at flood stage. But just like God had held back the Red Sea for the Hebrews at that time, he holds back the Jordan River. Now, he holds back the river. When you read close, you'll find out that the water was backed up 15 miles upriver. When God, that's how far back he backed up the waters. And then he dried the riverbed just like he did the Red Sea for these folks to cross over. Now initially when we had the Red Sea crossing, there was an estimated minimum of 2 million people. I don't know how many are here at this point in time. But you understand, this is a new generation of people. All the murmurers, the gripers, the complainers, the original ones that came across the Red Sea, they have died out. They've been wandering in the desert for 40 years. God passed judgment on them. They would, because of their unbelief. And everybody in the Sunday school, that's what you've been having the last 3 or 4 weeks. It runs right with the lesson theme, if you will. But anyway, when they crossed the Jordan, you've got Joshua and Caleb are the only two originals, if you will, that came through the Red Sea. And then you have this new generation that was 20 years and younger when the wandering started, before the 40 years started. So everybody has died off. Even Moses has died now. But God is still showing this generation who he is and what he can do. But now read closely here, verse 9. It says, "Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest who bear the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there to this day." In other words, when God shut down the water, the flood stage of the river, when he stopped it, and the riverbed got to where you could walk across it, he sends the priest in with the Ark of the Covenant, and they stand in the riverbed while everyone else crosses through, passes by. Now God instructed Joshua as to what to do, and Joshua told, he took one man from each of the 12 tribes as they were crossing over, and one man was appointed to take a stone out of the riverbed, put it on his shoulder, and walk on through and cross up onto the dry land, where the normal dry land is. And that's what they did. But before Joshua came through, he goes through the riverbed himself and picks up 12 stones, and he stacks up a monument of 12 stones right where the priests are standing with the Ark of the Covenant in the river. In the river. So there's two memorials going to be set up here. One is in the river. The other is when they get up on the dry land, get it into the bank, and they go to Gilgal, then he'll set up the monument there. But it's important to understand there's one that's inside the riverbed here. So as we learned in 16 to 18, we learned that per God's instructions, after the people passed over the riverbed, then he says to Joshua to tell the priest they were carrying the ark to come on up out of the water, out of the riverbed as well. So they do. And so as soon as the last man's foot steps up onto the dry land, what was the riverbank, God releases the water and it goes right back to flood stage again. But in 20 through 24, the 12 stones that are taken from the riverbed, which were carried out, the people walk to Gilgal, and that's where they stop first after they cross the Jordan. Gilgal is roughly a mile and a quarter before you get to Jericho. Gilgal is their headquarters for the time being. That's where they're going to be stationed at. So now, Joshua takes those 12 stones that each man of the 12 men carried out from the riverbed, and now he sets up a monument here on the dry land at Gilgal to where anybody could walk by and see there's a 12-stone monument there. And that's what he says here with the people. He said this is going to be a monument to show what our God has done. He has brought us through the Jordan into the Promised Land, and so that's why God had him set this monument up where he did. Now, if you go to Psalms 103, verse 2, There's a verse there that says, blessed be the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And that's what this marker is doing. This is just for future generations to look back and say, well, God brought my ancestors through, and this is a monument that proves that they did what they did, you know. Again, it's showing the glory of God. It's acknowledging God for who he is, just as we should be doing today. We need to have mile markers or mile posts in our lives. Now, if you will, flip over to the book of Mark, chapter 15. And I want to show you the most important milestone in the Bible. I've got a few verses scattered out here as well. We'll look at Mark 15, verse 33, 34 to 37. And then I want to drop down to 44 through 46. Okay, 33. And you'll notice this chapter deals with the crucifixion of Christ. It says, now when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land. The sixth hour in our clock today is 12 o'clock, high noon. Darkness overtakes the sight there. And there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. The ninth hour is 3 p.m. in our clock today. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of those who stood by when they heard it said, look, he is calling for Elijah. Now let's drop down to verse 37. And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last. Now verse 44 through 46 says, now Pilate marveled that he was already dead, and summoning the centurion, he asked him if he had been dead for some time. So when he found out from the centurion, he granted the body to Joseph. Then he bought fine linen, took him down, and wrapped him in the linen, and he laid him in the tomb, which had been hewn out of the rock, and rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. Now I want you to look at verse 4 through 6 in chapter 16. Verse 4 says, but when they looked up, they saw the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. Now, in looking at these verses, this was the milestone that God put down when he allowed his son to come and die on the cross for our sins. In the timing here, the sixth hour is 12 noon. There was darkness set in from 12 noon till 3 p.m. And there's no irony to it. 3 p.m. was the time when the would go into the tabernacle. 3 p.m. was when the priest did the sacrifices. That's when the sacrifices were offered up, was at 3 p.m. And that's the very time we just read where Jesus cried out with a loud voice. Why would he cry out? How could he cry out with a loud voice if he's so debilitated? He's lost his blood. He's in misery. He's in agony. But why doesn't it say with a weak voice he cried out and died? But it does, and he says with a loud voice. He still had his power. He was still Jesus. He could have done anything, but yet he willingly gave up the ghost, if you will. He allowed himself to go through this death. But now I want you to look symbolically back to Joshua, where we just came from. The 12 stones in the riverbed that Joshua put down, the 12 stones in the river that allowed the water to come back over and cover over them, those 12 stones signify Christ's death and burial. Because the other 12 over on the Promised Land that are up for view can be seen at Gilgal. That represents Christ's resurrection. So you see, it's just not just a monotonous history going on in the Bible. There's a reason for everything that's in the Bible. There is a purpose that God has had put in there for us to read and to learn and to understand. So my question to you today is, do you have an all-important milestone you can look back to? Can you recall a time when you looked to Christ for your salvation, when you accepted His gift of salvation? It's the most important event will ever happen in any person's life. That is the most important. And that's why it's so important that everybody come to know Christ as their Savior. One more section. Romans chapter 6. We're not going to be long, but we're going to try to read it all. Romans chapter 6, page 1558, if you've got the right translation. All right, I'm looking at verses 1 through 8. It says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who die to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through the baptism into death, that just as Christ was risen from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him." And that was the purpose of His death, burial, and resurrection. So who are we as Christians? We're people who were co-baptized with Christ, co-buried, and co-resurrected with Him. When He was buried, as in verse 4 here, we were buried with Him. Now here's what I want you to understand. What is true of Jesus physically is true of us spiritually. In other words, that's what your Christian life has been. When you became a Christian, you were spiritually buried. You spiritually died. Your old man in you, the sinful nature, died that day. And you become a new creature in Christ. And that's why you live the life you do today. Now, when I was reading this, I got a commentary from I'd ordered a commentary that Tony Evans had come out with. And I was reading this scripture and ended up, and I said, well, I'll look at his commentary and see how he views that as well. I want to give you the take on what he says as to how viewing the word, because if you listen, people will tell you there's 10 different definitions of baptism. You know, there's different definitions to baptism, but this is the significance that the Greeks looked at it. It says Paul uses baptism to illustrate how this works. In Greek, the word translated baptism meant to plunge or dip. You know, there's no such thing as plunge or dip. It was the word used for dyeing clothes. This is the example the Greeks used. It was used in dyeing clothes. So when you would dip a white cloth into a purple dye, the properties of the dye become a part of the cloth. And that's what happens with us Christians. We are dipped, we're born by the blood of Jesus. We are dipped, if you will, in the blood of Jesus. So the properties of Jesus become a part of us. That that's why you should be able to be an open door witness as to what Christ has done for you. You should be your testimony. You're a living, breathing, walking testimony of what God has done for you. What the sacrifice Jesus did, because of his sacrifice, he redeemed us back to the Father. And those that have accepted the gift of salvation, we should be taking on the view, we should look like Jesus in whatever manner we can. Last one, last verse and you're done. Galatians 2 and 20. Galatians 2 and 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The Christian today not only has a milepost, but needs to be a post as well. People need to be able to see who we are. They need to see Christ in us. Because that's our commission. You know, people famously say, well, what am I here for? Why am I here? The Bible tells you, you're here to glorify God. You're to reveal God through your life. And that's all I have. I appreciate your time and trouble. Appreciate you being here. It's going to be short and sweet. We could, let's have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Again, Father, thank you for the day. Thank you so much for your word. I just pray, Lord, that your word will continue to penetrate our hearts, to put that desire in our hearts, to live and walk daily with you, to seek you in our prayer life, and Lord, to read your word to where we can grow and become more stable and be the Christian you called us to be. So Lord, we thank you again for this day. Thank you for this opportunity. We ask you to go with each and every one as they go back to our places of abode. Have your way and your will in our lives and bring us back to this evening, we pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.